Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for inviting me, and I hope that what I tell you is something that will tweak your interest in using your phone more than just calling people, trying to use it as a extension of your PC, a tool that I think that you will find rather fascinating. Despite its rather small size, it has a wealth of possibilities. And so that's some of the things that we're going to talk about. I had originally planned to try and have my phone actually on the screen so you could see how the apps are used. I was going to use a device that's called Chromecast, but unfortunately I could not get it to work like I use it at the computer club. So I prepared some slides, and I will talk from those. And if you have any questions, jot them down. Hopefully we'll have some time at the end of the program to answer any of your questions. But to get started, is that I think the smartphone really is the Swiss Army knife of mobile devices. And I say that because it's capable of doing multiple tasks. And in this presentation, I've just kind of will show you a few of those things. And hopefully you'll be interested enough to try those. Now, we're not talking specifically about an iPhone or an Android. We're talking about smartphones in general. The difference between the two is just the same as the difference between a PC and a Mac. They're both capable of doing computing. So your iPhone and your Android phones are in the same category. The only thing that separates them is the operating system that runs them. For Android, it's Android, and they're made by a variety of companies, Motorola, Samsung, LG, just to name a few. And when you go to your phone store, you'll see a variety of phones that have the Android operating system. Of course, the iPhone is only produced by Apple, and it has the operating system they refer to as iOS, and that's the same operating system that runs the iPad as well. So any phone is capable of interfacing with any internet-enabled devices that has that process built into them, whether it's an Android or a iPhone. Not so much with the Windows devices. There is such a thing as a Windows phone, and you will see it. Unfortunately, Microsoft is not supporting it in the way that it should, so eventually it's going to go away with something they're going to be bringing out later, which I have heard referred to as the Surface phone. So that's something to wait and see. But if you happen to look at a Windows phone, you'll find that it's very much, it'll look like a Windows 10 operating system. You have the same tiles that you have on your Windows 10 computer. So if you don't want to be confused by the buttons that's on the iPhone or the Android, and you're fairly comfortable with using your Windows 10 computer or Windows 8 computer, you'll be right at home with a Windows phone. But we're going to talk about using the phones as a remote control. We're going to talk about online banking. We're going to talk about GPS, the global positioning system. We're going to talk about cloud storage. And we're going to talk about how to find apps that you might want to use. So we'll begin with apps. Now, the word app is an abbreviation for application. An app is a piece of software. It can run on the internet, on your computer, on your phone, or any other electronic device. The word app is a more modern usage, but this is really the same thing as a software program. So we're getting away from the use of the word program, and we're beginning to use the word apps. You hear that even on your PCs, and of course Apple has been using that term for quite a while, but it's kind of new with the PC world. But in modern use, most people refer to apps as the applications or software programs that run specifically on phones or other mobile devices. This is probably the most common way to discuss apps. The Google Play Store, for example, which sells movies, e-books, and music in addition to software, has a section on apps and My Apps. Amazon has a section called App Store for Android. Apple has an App Store for iOS devices. However, these are all just mobile apps. So if you want to go shopping for an app on an Android, then you go to what's referred to as the Google Play Store. If you want to go shopping for apps on your iPhone, then you go to the App Store. Using your device as a remote control, you can do quite a few things. You can remote print from your phone. You'll be able to control your house lights. There are some entertainment programs called the Roku streaming remote. There's a Slingshot TV. You can cast to a smart TV using Chromecast. And you can control the Nest programmable thermostats. Those are some of the things you can do. Also, if you, in the realm of security, you can also control remotely internet-connected doorbells and internet-connected locks. In the area of productivity, we have Microsoft apps, which are Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, and Microsoft PowerPoint. In addition to cloud storage, Dropbox, OneDrive, and Google Drive. And as we go along, we'll get into these in more detail. So under your productivity apps, Microsoft has offered Word, Excel, PowerPoint for both the Android and iPhone for free. And these are programs that work very similar to the desktop programs, and you can use them to read a email that has a Word attachment in its native format. You can also use the mobile apps to compose documents. You can also view your Excel spreadsheets, your spreadsheets, create spreadsheets. You can create and read PowerPoint. In addition to those apps, there's also some new ones that have been introduced that came along with Windows 10, but they're now available on your smartphone. That's Cortana, and you can have her sync everything you have on your desktop. If you're using Cortana on your desktop for your scheduling as your personal digital assistant, keeping your schedules and your calendars, then if you install Cortana on your phone, you have the same content. So you can update and retrieve information from either device, whether it's on your PC or your smartphone. Groove is has replaced the media player in Windows 10, but it's also available on your phone. So whatever music that you have installed on your computer and you're playing it through Groove, you can play that same music on your mobile device. Cloud storage is probably the key to using any of these productivity apps, because this is where you're going to extend your phone's storage capabilities. It also is a way to be able to retrieve whatever you create on your PC and you store it in the cloud using Dropbox, OneDrive, or Google Drive, you can retrieve that same information on your phone. For instance, if you want to create a document of all those let's just use your prescription medicine that you that a lot of us write on pieces of paper because the doctor wants to know what we're taking and whatever. You can create that document and keep it updated on your PC in a Word document and save it to Dropbox or OneDrive, and then when you're at the doctor's office, you can pull out your phone and you can retrieve that same information. So you don't have to be bothered with having to create a new list every time you get ready to go to the doctor. Just update the one that you've already created, save it to one of the to Dropbox or OneDrive or Google Drive, and then when you get to the doctor's office, you can retrieve that information. And that's just an example, but you can do it for most anything. One of the things that I use my phone a lot is online banking. I very seldom ever go to the inside the bank to do any business. I do a lot of it from the ATM kiosk as well as from my phone. And I can review my my accounts and see what deposits have been made. I can transfer funds. I can also deposit checks. It's really kind of fascinating is that using your camera, and that serves as a scanner. So you place the check on the counter, take a photograph of both sides, and then through the app, you make the deposit. And it works really great. So if you don't want to have to take a trip to the bank to deposit the check, you can use your phone to make that deposit. One of the things that you can do too, of course, is remote print from your phone. There's an app that allows you to do any type of printing. If you have a printer, most printers today have something they call either HP ePrint or Cloud Print or Air Print. Any of those things, apps can be controlled directly from your phone. Plus, you can also download an app that's called, one that I use is called PrintShare. And you can print anywhere at any time through the internet. And it's an app. There's a free version. There's also a premium version. But using that app, you can share printers. You can print your mail. You can print your text messages. You can print your job management. Control your print jobs. Any kind of things that is functional on your printer you can control from your smartphone. So just by installing the software on your Android or iPhone, you're able to print anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection. Which could, if you want to send photos, if you're traveling, you want to send photos to family and friends, you can have them set up on your phone that you can print directly to their printer. So that's something that is interesting for a lot of people. And here's some of the screenshots of the things that you can do. Access your files. You can access pictures and drawings, and all those can be printed using the that mobile app. using your camera to scan documents. Say, for instance, like we use this, the check depositing feature in the bank app, you can also take a picture of any document that you want to send someone by just placing that piece of the document on a table and then framing it within your camera, taking a picture, and then attaching that to an email or text message or any of those things. And so you have a quick and easy way to scan things without even having to use the traditional scanner. Here's some more shots. One of the things that you have to be aware of when you're using your phone to print is that the print menu is not readily visible. A lot of apps, they will use what's referred to. They will use this share feature, and this has kind of become the universal symbol for share. And within that share symbol, you will find, you'll get a menu that looks kind of like this. And it has the different applications on your phone that you can share with. In other words, you can share with your Facebook account. You can share with your messaging. But most importantly, you also find the print feature there. So just keep in mind, if you're in an app and you have your printer software installed on your phone, and you can't see in that app where you have the print function, look for the share symbol and click on it, and 9 times out of 10, you'll find the print function within that app. So just keep that in mind. And one of the things I think is really key to my phone is the location services. So I use my phone as a GPS all the time. All I do is just type in the address that I want to go to, and the location services that's built in the phone already knows where you're located. In other words, your home address, it will be the from point, and the destination that you type in will be the to. And then it will begin calculating the route for you. And so with that in mind, you always should keep your location services turned on. Because say, for instance, you want to find out where the nearest Brahms or the Walmart or whatever, you're in a different city, you can just type those names in and it'll bring up all those businesses within a certain radius. And so the GPS feature, either using the Google Maps, which is available for standard and the Android and your Apple devices, but also Microsoft has jumped in the game with their Bing Maps. But in any case, both of these are available for your Android and iPhone. And I talked about entertainment. There's a pretty popular device on the market today that's called the Roku Streaming Video Player. Now, when you purchase that, it'll come with a remote. But you can also download the remote app for that device and control it from your phone. So you usually always have your phone handy. You don't have to be fiddling with another extra remote. You can put as many remotes on your phone as you like. They all have their own app, so you just choose the one that you want to use. And you can control that device from that application. So you can take control of any product that you have just downloading the app that you need to access that device. And here's kind of what the application looks like on the phone. You have your back button, you have your home, your selection, you have your play buttons. They're all pretty much self-explanatory if you have this device, because they mimic the same controls on the remote that comes with the equipment. But you usually get some extras. Like in this case, on the Roku, all the apps that you have subscribed to, or programs you subscribe to, will all show up there. So there, you have quick access to any of these programs that you are subscribing to under what's called My Channels. If you own a smart TV, here again, you can go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and download the application for your brand of smart TV. And there, if you don't find your TV listed, there's some universal remotes that are also there that you can tailor for the television that you own. Or if you don't like the remote that you have, or the app that you like, you might try one of the universal ones. It'll give you maybe more capabilities. And here's some examples of some of the different applications that have remotes that you can get. This one happens to pertain to a Google TV, but it has like a touchpad here. Here's your other controls. These are other things that you can do to program the app. Here's a couple other ones that are in the store that you can use that are available. So they really mimic the physical remote that came with the equipment that you'll be able to have on your phone. And you just have that one device. So if you have like five remotes, you can get rid of all five remotes and just use your phone for all five, for the five equipments that you have. This is interesting. This is Sling Television for phones. In other words, you'll be able to view TV programs using your phone with an application called Sling Television. And you can view it on the phone, or you can connect it to your TV using HDMI connector. So all you need is your phone and a internet connection and a compatible TV, and you can watch television shows doing so. Now, notice the note, make sure you have the phone connected to the charger. And that's pretty much the case in all of these applications, is that you won't be able to use them very long if you're just tethered to the battery. So that's kind of the downside of trying to use any application for any extended time, that you almost always have to be connected to the AC outlet. One of the things that has really picked up is the connected home. In other words, using your Wi-Fi connections in your home to control various appliances and devices. And one of the ones that's becoming very common is a thermostat that you can control from your Android or iPhone. So say, for instance, you go on a last-minute trip and you forgot to turn the thermostat down. Well, you can do it from your phone. If you're coming home early, you can, and you have a program to set the temperature to a little colder than what you like, because you want to do some energy savings, then you can control it. Turn the thermostat up on your way home, and by the time you get there, the house has become to your liking. To show you what that looks like on the phone is that this is an example. It shows you what the current temperature is of your house, and then it shows you this device, this picture here, where you can actually change this to whatever temperature you like. So if you have your phone on your nightstand and it gets a little too warm and you want to turn the thermostat up or down, you can do that from your nightstand. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the hallway to adjust the thermostat. You can do it right from your bedside. You also can adjust the thermostat is also programmable, where you can set the temperatures right from the phone for the various times of day and the different days of the week. Also, it will give you a history of what your energy savings were. In this case, where you see the leaves, this is for the Nest thermostat. It showed that you were energy efficient on that particular day for that the thermostat only, the furnace only ran 2 3/4 hours. And here again, it shows where the thermostat is located. It's showing the minimum temperature that you want before it comes on. And that shows what current temperature is. You can turn the fan on. You can do a lot of things just really from the phone. And you never, ever have to go touch the thermostat. It's all controlled by your phone through your Wi-Fi network. One of the things that's also becoming of age is that they have these smart doorbells and locks. In other words, when someone rings the bell here, the little camera will display on your phone. And it doesn't matter where you are. You could be at the grocery store and someone would be ringing your bell. They would have no idea that you were home or not, because you could answer the door and tell them that you're not interested in what they're selling. Or, say, for instance, you need to make a quick rush and you're expecting a family member or a house guest, and you don't get back to your house in time, and they're at your door ringing it. Well, you could unlock that door remotely using your phone. And these are two examples. One is called the Ring, and the other one is called Skybell. And they both have companion pieces that also control the door locks in your house. Wi-Fi control light switches. Why come home to a dark house? Schedule your stuff however you like. Set the porch light to turn on before you get home, and you can do that using your phone. And these are very simple to install. They're all do-it-yourself projects. You don't have to have an electrician or anyone to install them for you. They usually replace the existing wiring that's there. The only difference is that they have to be synced up with your Wi-Fi. So once you have that done, your phone then can control these devices. So, in conclusion, the smartphone is no longer just a portable computer in your pocket. It also has become the remote control for your life. So if you want to flip off the living room lights, unlock your front door, or get a reading of your blood pressure, all this can be done through the mobile apps that work with accessories embedded in the phone and your internet connection. So for several years, our technology companies have promised a dream of what's referred to as the connected home, the connected body, and the connected car. In a lot of cases, those things people thought were just pipe dreams or just illusory. But in the last couple years, app-powered accessories have provided the mechanism to provide those necessary connections. This is partly due because smartphones have become the device people never put down. You always have your phone with you. So why not be able to use it to do more things? So that's the reason why I call my smartphone the Swiss Army knife of mobile devices. And with that, I'll take some questions if you have any. Also, I'd like to remind you that the APC 2016 conference is going to be at the Palace Station Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. So be educated, enthused, and entertained. It should be a great 3 days. So if anyone's there interested, it's not too late to make reservations for that.
Thank you, Bill.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, questions. Bill, let me start off with asking one question. I don't know if you mentioned what is the cost of these apps. Are these free, or there's a fee attached to purchasing these apps?
Those apps are, for the most part, free, particularly the ones that come with that support the devices that you have purchased. If you buy one, a device that is supposed to be connected to your phone, then the application is free. You just go to the appropriate store to download it. So if you have an Apple device, you go to the App Store. If it's an Android, you go to the Google Play Store. The remote controls that I showed and the printer apps, there are free versions of those as well as paid versions. But it's the store, you can go and just shop and find the ones that work, that you think will work. And if they don't work, you just uninstall them.
Okay.
So there's not really a big risk of it messing up your phone or anything. It's just download the app. If it works, then use it. If it doesn't, uninstall it and try another one.
Excellent. Thank you. Other questions? Raise your hand and I'll bring the...
Hi, my name is Gail. It's interesting you bring this up, and I was looking forward to coming here because I just came from Best Buy. And I have dial-up on my new laptop. I mean, not on my new laptop. I have dial-up until I figure out a broadband. And what came up is personal hotspot. Are you familiar with that? It's an internet connection that you could use your phone to use your internet to connect to your laptop.
Well, I didn't hear all the question, but what I'm getting is that you're saying that your laptop you're not able to connect to your Wi-Fi?
I don't have Wi-Fi. Okay, well, is it true that there, have you heard of hotspot, personal hotspot on, it's on an iPhone. I was told it's going to be coming
iPhone,
out on Android.
I got you. The hotspot that's on your phone, yes.
Only on an iPhone. It's not on it's not on any phone. Not on my phone. Not on my phone. Well, you have the extra, so it's not on your phone.
If you have...
So I wanted to find out...
Okay, let me try to understand that. If you have an Android phone...
Right.
You have what is referred to as a mobile hotspot. And yes, you can run your laptop using that mobile hotspot. You have to... subscribe to that service from your internet, from your phone service. It's like I have one on my phone that I pay $30 a month for when I want to use it. And I just call them. It's sort of like on the demand. If I know I'm going somewhere where there's not an internet connection, but there is cell phone service, then I can just call them and they'll turn the hotspot on for me.
I don't have a hotspot on my phone. You looked everywhere. It's been 40 minutes to look. Where is the hotspot on my Android phone?
It's on a What I would do, I don't know which iPhone that you have.
Galaxy 3.
It's something that you have to go to your phone provider to get it turned on, and they will install the app for you.
Okay, so in other words, I don't have it on my phone. It has to be installed.
Well, without seeing it, I can't really say yes or no.
But people are saying that I have it on my phone, which I know I do not. Let me understand the thing. What you just said. So I have to pay $30 a month to be able to get some sort of connection to go to my laptop, right? Approximately.
Yeah. The best way to resolve the problem is go to your phone provider and tell them, and they can either install the app for you or get you subscribed. It is a subscription service. It's not free. You have to pay for it.
Okay, this isn't a question, but it's a clarification. At least as far as I know and on my phone, there is no subscription fee for the hotspot, but you download the app and then you're using it against your data. So it charges against whatever your data is. So if you have a data limit, it's going to go, you know, you might pay extra. But at least on the Android phone, there's no subscription fee.
And I believe that's correct because on my Android phone, the mobile hotspot is an app that came with the phone.
Okay, I just downloaded an app. You go to the Google Play Store, and you ask for mobile hotspot. And there it is. I'm glad I came here.
You don't have to have a mobile hotspot to go to the Google Store. You just need to have an Internet connection. And also a Google account. And when you buy your Android phone and they set it up, they usually give you the account. And actually what it is, it's your Gmail account. So if you have a Gmail account, then you have a Google account. You just put that in with your as your user ID and your password, and you can get into the Google Store.
Okay, one more question. Please give your name when you're asking Bill a question.
Okay, I'm John. I have one more question. I have an Android phone, and I'm amazed at all of the utility that you get out of this phone, everything from information on health services, keeping yourself together, and even getting an education. It's quite amazing. However, I noticed that a lot of these apps come with a lot of junk that clutters your phone. How do I get rid of that junk?
Well, if the application is free, then it's going to be supported by ads. So the only way that you can get around that is to use the paid version. So if you want to use the free version, you're going to have to put up with the ads because that's what supports them providing it to you free. But if you don't want, you can pay a couple dollars, and that will take those ads away.
Next question. Please give your name.
Hello, my name's Annette, and I have a question about the apps for unlocking and locking your door remotely. If you download that, and by chance you lose your phone or it's stolen, how long does it take to uninstall that so you don't have somebody like with a set of keys to your house? How long does it take to uninstall it?
What I do is that I have, since I do have sensitive information, or what I consider information on my phone, I always use a password. Because it's something that I have a tendency to, at times, lay down, and anyone could pick it up. So I have a security password on my phone. If the phone is lost, then there's not really much you can do about that other than Some of that information can be retrieved on your next phone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that someone hasn't gotten into it and compromised it. But you also, you can do this, is that if your phone is lost, the one thing that you need to do is set up a way to remotely get into the phone and shut it down. And I know on the Samsungs they have a app that you can go into and set up a remote phone number that you can call into the phone, and you can then block it. It also will tell you, and you can do this on your PC, it also will tell you the location of that phone. And so there are a number of ways that you can thwart any kind of nefarious activity because you lost your phone. So I would suggest that if you have an Android or Apple phone, that you go in and look for something that says Find My Phone. That's the application that is built in, and it will allow you to go in and do some things that in the event the phone is lost or stolen, you can control the access of that device.
From another device.
I'm sorry?
But the idea is that you have to have a code number or a code already set up prior.
I didn't understand what you said.
You have to know a code in order to get to that service. Is that correct? A password or something?
You have to, when you set up Find My Phone, you have to have a password to get into it, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Raise your hand, please. Okay. EJ. Just 1 minute, Bill.
Good evening, Bill. This is EJ.
Good evening.
Good evening. I want to thank you for this presentation. I've learned a lot already. I'm new to a smartphone. I got an Android 2-3 months ago, and I now know why I kind of waited. It's now my new best friend, and it's utterly indispensable to me, so I kind of had an idea that would happen. And I'm just going to make an observation here. Android, of course, is Google's product, and I have a PC running Windows 7. And it soon became obvious that to get the most out of your smartphone, your Android, you're going to get into bed with Google. And I have no problem at all with that. So I switched my browser from IE to Chrome, which once I got used to it is working, it's way ahead. And I switched my contacts to Google Contacts, and I'm using Google Calendar and Google Drive, and they're all synced, my PC synchronized with my PC and my phone. So I make a change on one, it automatically makes it on the other. And let me tell you, Bill, you probably know this, that is very seductive technology. You can get used to it. So count me a fan of Google and the Android phone. And thanks again for taking the time this evening.
Okay.
Other questions?
This is just a comment. I mislaid my phone, and if you don't have the power on, and you phone your phone to hoping it will ring, it will not ring.
Bill, do you want to say something to that?
I don't think I heard all of that.
Stephanie, you want to repeat it?
I don't think I heard all of that.
If you don't have your power on, my experience was that I lost my phone around the house. I have a messy house. Anyway... tried to phone it, and I couldn't hear it ring because the power was off. It may have been in airplane mode. Whatever it wasn't ringing. So I had to wait a couple weeks until I actually found it. So this thing about being able to turn it off, that's subjective to it actually being powered on, I think.
Yeah, find your phone will work even, to my understanding, even if the ringer is turned off, it will be able to find it as long as it has battery power. And it's using the GPS to pinpoint where it's located. But what I do, unfortunately, is that 9 times out of 10, the ringer on my phone is turned off. So if I misplace it here in the house, I can't call the number to find it because the ringer's turned off. So I've just got in the habit of placing it on the charger when I get home, so I know exactly where it is. But I feel your pain. I've done the same thing where I've not only had it it wasn't turned off necessary, but the ringer wasn't working. I mean, the ringer wasn't turned on.
Thanks, Phil.
But you,
Gail.
Okay, so as you're talking, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I'm sorry.
So you can't hear me. Anyway, I'm reading here. And it says Android. The Wi-Fi hotspot feature on Android phones lets you use your mobile data. Then it says first you should know that your carrier won't be happy with you going around the special Wi-Fi and will add charges. But if you're willing to risk it, how can you tether without your carrier finding out? And it tells you to go to a third-party power widget, which is 99 cents, and also to use Elixir 2. Use the widget app to add a widget to your home screen that toggles your hotspot Wi-Fi on and off. What do you have to say about that?
Okay, I don't think I got all of that. Can someone help me? Yes. That is true. You can't have them both on at the same time.
About Elixir. You know about Elixir? I don't know why he can't hear me. Okay, I'm talking about Elixir. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ability to be able to use Elixir, and it tells you that your provider may find out about it and cancel your service. So I want to know what you feel about Elixir to be able to use it in order to pay 99 cents to use the hotspot.
Okay, but now, why do you want to have the Wi-Fi on and you're using the hotspot at the same time?
Well, I'm talking about not using the Wi-Fi to use the hotspot. So if I use the hotspot instead, this is to avoid $30 charge. This is to go around that to be able to use it. So I wanted to find out if you know about using Elixir to be able to do that because I just downloaded it.
I don't think I heard all of that either.
Bill, maybe this is a question we can take up after, because I know Gail, and I can follow up with you on this question to get clarification. Any other questions at this time? Any other questions regarding using your smartphone to operate different devices in your home or to monitor what's going on television? Any other questions for Bill? Bill, is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we say goodbye?
Other than thank you so much for having me here again. Judy Talur wanted me to remind everybody about the International Technology Conference, which I've already talked about. The information is there on the screen. There's going to be quite a few presentations. Also, quite a few of your members have entered some of the contests. I've seen a couple things. So there's the photo contest, and that is open to everyone. So if you have some really nice photos that you want to, that you're proud of and you want to enter, it's not too late to do that. So I really don't have anything else to say other than we really appreciate the opportunity to give this presentation to you. It is one of the benefits that you receive as being a member of APCUG. And it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. We really enjoyed hearing your presentation. We look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas.